Okay, we are looking at God's Word, and I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles, look on the screen, pull up your electronic version Bible if you prefer, or there's even pew Bibles there if you want. We're looking at Acts 11, and let's read this portion of Scripture together, Acts 11, beginning at verse 19. Acts 11, beginning at verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many of people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And at Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. When do you face situations beyond your comfort zone? Situations that may invoke or evoke in you a sense of fear. You're there, or you can envision yourself there. In today's text, Acts 11, we see ordinary Christians, people just like us, ordinary followers of Jesus, in a very uncomfortable and fear-evoking situation. We're going to talk more about like what that is and how they handled it. But the bottom line is they trusted God in that. They trusted God in a way that God worked through them to accomplish a gospel ministry, barrier-breaking kind of moment. The kind of thing that impacted the church not only then, but forever. And I want us to consider today those situations that we are in that are difficult, or those times we may be called by God to reach beyond our comfort zones, and encourage us that when we trust God there, when we trust in Him, in those circumstances, and in reaching out, even when there's fear, God uses ordinary Christians like us to accomplish barrier-breaking gospel ministry too. Let's look at Acts chapter 11, verse 20, and just consider these ordinary Christians. We're going to kind of zoom in on this in more detail today. Ordinary believers, some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, they aren't even named. It's not Paul, Barnabas, somebody that's name is even recorded for us. Just some men who were believers. They were in an unfamiliar situation, fleeing Jerusalem because of persecution, now up in Antioch and around those who weren't even Jews. And they made a major shift and said, hey, wait, we can talk to non-Jews too about Jesus. And they did. Even though it was people that didn't look like them or dress like them, probably. And we can do the same. People that don't look like us, dress like us, vote like us, right? We can reach out to those people. That's maybe a fear-evoking place for us, but that's what this text points us to. Reaching out and trusting God, what it looks like, might just be reaching across the street, reaching across the neighborhood, reaching across the office place, reaching across the classroom. There's somebody there that you can have a conversation with. And yeah, it may be a little scary, but this passage points us to the work of God in us and through us in that kind of place. You know, even we might reach out to somebody who's walked into TCC and is new. Or maybe you're the one that's new. And you may be doing some reaching out to say, hey, nice to meet you. God does mighty things when we trust him in those places, in those moments. And Luke is telling us about this because this is what the Holy Spirit does. This is kind of the grand story of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit advances the spread of the gospel through the church of Jesus Christ, and he overcomes barrier after barrier after barrier to gospel mission. He breaks those down, and then his work advances. And if we surrender to him, we're a part of that as individuals and as a church. In Acts chapter 2, 47, it talks about the Lord added to their number. In chapter 6, verse 7, the number of disciples multiplied. Chapter 9, the church multiplied. Chapter 16, the churches increased. This work didn't happen primarily because of a planning session or the strategy of people, even though God can use those. This work happened because of the power and working of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us to consider, how we tap into that, trust in him. Let him lead and guide and use us in gospel ministry too. The whole setup here for Acts chapter 11 and the gospel spreading to Gentiles at Antioch and beyond Antioch, as Antioch becomes a kind of a hub of the church ministry and mission into the Gentile world. Literally dozens of churches were planted after Antioch, even though this was the first non-Jewish church that was ever begun. The ramp up, though, is a lot of things that we're seeing there in the book of Acts: persecution erupting against the church, Philip and others are then starting to share the gospel outside of Jerusalem. Saul, that man who became known as Paul, meets Jesus. That's a very dramatic moment, and you can bookmark that because he's going to become the central carrier of the message in the chapters to come. Cornelius and his household, this non-Jew who is a God-fearer, receives the gospel, and that convinces Peter, like, wait, the Gentiles can receive the gospel too. And the apostles hear about Cornelius, and they're like, yep, you're right. That's the very last thing before we kind of move into this description in chapter 11. The apostles are like, yep, you're right. Gentiles can receive the gospel, but as of yet, most of the ministry is happening to Jews. Those that were scattered were sharing the message of the gospel only with Jews. And now here in Antioch, in a very decisive way that resulted in the planting of a church among Gentile believers, these unnamed men of Cyprus and Cyrene are sharing the gospel with non-Jews. Wow, what a breakthrough. What an amazing moment. And I want us to consider the church with you in it is you and me trusting God in those scary places, fear-evoking places, whatever level that reaching out may be. And as a church, to be that kind of church, not sort of going for comfort and that's where we stay, but saying, God, how are you going to use me in the gospel being spread? And we can see right here, it's ordinary believers that are used in extraordinary ways, and I hope we embrace that as our part in the church, to be one of those ordinary believers trusting God to be used in extraordinary ways. That's, I know, probably the biggest ask so far in this church with you in it, right? Yeah, because you're hearing about prayer, and we want to take in teaching, and fellowship's really important, and generosity is important. But let's trust God here as well and see ourselves, if we're believers in Jesus, to do our part in breaking barriers for the gospel. Do our part in breaking barriers for the gospel. We're going to talk about this today. There's the aspect of evangelism. That's what these folks did. They were just, in everyday language, talking about Jesus. A lot about what Josh was just talking about with us here. And then there's this encouragement. And a lot of times when new works are happening, things are in that early stage, there's a lot that isn't right. But encouragement focuses on the things that are right, the things that are of God, and how we can fan the flame of those things that God is doing. And that's one of the things we see here, and that's one of our parts. And then we're going to talk about extended discipleship. You know, new things will just be a flash in the pan, just a trend for the moment, unless there is discipleship. And so we have to embrace our part in this. We, as a church, of course, value this greatly. And I want everyone who is a believer to see that track of discipleship is how they're going to be part of this for the long haul. And we as a church, how we're going to be part of this for the long haul. We see ordinary believers used by God and trusting God in this gospel breakthrough. And this text tells us somewhat how to do this in this encouragement, how to sustain this for long-term gospel ministry. And that's what we're looking at today. Now, you may be already feeling like really overwhelmed, like somebody like, okay, this one's for somebody else. Oh, next Sunday is a little different, right? And I want to say, come back. If any of you are like leaving me right now, come back. Stay with me, because don't forget this. Jesus' promise of power, right? It's not you. It's not me. It's not us. It's not how clever we are. It's not how extroverted we are. And thank goodness some of us are extroverts, right? But if you're introvert, like, nope. Jesus promised power to every one of his followers. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. So you can be one of those in your own unique way, in the places God has you, in the places God leads you. And it may be stepping into that scary place of doing TCC Kids Ministry on our team downstairs. But you may be called to do it. It may be in stepping up to be doing youth ministry. It may be that neighbor that you're going to engage and share with and pray for. It may be some other way of reaching out, somebody that's new or different background, ethnically, educationally, economically, but you're reaching across. Different ages, think of that. Older folks reaching out to younger folks, and younger folks reaching out to older folks. All of this is included in your part, breaking barriers for the gospel. So we're going to look first at evangelism. Just to kind of boil this down, there's so much I could say, but we're going to look at the key persons in each of these segments and a key word in each segment. And that'll help limit me a little bit. The key persons here in this part, of course, is the men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Cyprus is an island in the middle of the Mediterranean. Cyrene is on the north part of Africa. So they weren't from here. and they'd been persecuted. So I'd say the key word is suffering. And that, of course, is very unfamiliar and unknown and fear-evoking, right? Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. So this speaking the word is just ordinary language. It's not sermons, whatever. It's just conversation. Conversation, telling the gospel. That's what they did. The point of the message is Jesus. But so far, they were only sharing that point with Jews. And verse 20, then, this kind of a pioneer-like aspect of this barrier breaking. But there were some of the men, Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists. Here is clearly non-Jews. Not just Jews, Greek culturally, Greek language speaking. These were non-Jews of Greek culture, and they may have been from Greece, or they may have just been Greek culturally and Greek in terms of language. But they now shared the gospel with them, spoke in that conversational way, preaching, again, not as a sermon, but as a declaration of the good news of the gospel to them. And this pioneer-like work, you know, you think about this, you may say, well, okay, thank God there's people like missionaries, the Martins and the Berries that go to another nation. Yeah, and those are pioneers for sure, right? Thank the Lord there's people like Josh and Allie. Wow, they're pioneers planting a church in Dorchester. That's pioneer work. But there's something pioneer-like about the ministry for almost every one of us, right? Places that are unknown, unfamiliar, scary, not our comfort zone. And so I want you to think about you stepping into those then. As these men of Cyprus and Cyrene did. And you may be saying to me again, okay, but how do I do that? I love that this passage is so focused on the Lord. Verse 21, clearly they trusted in the Lord and his hand was on them. Josh is to talk about God is working, the same kind of idea. But they remembered it. They trusted him. The hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. By the work of the Lord, people turned to the Lord to believe in the Lord. And the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the end of verse 20. They were preaching the Lord Jesus. So that whole area of trust, I'm going to make it through. We sang about that. This past week, I was introduced by the Travellini family to a little children's book called It Will Be Okay. And a great story about a little seed that realized he can trust the farmer. And even though he's put in that dark, unfamiliar place under the ground, it will be okay. Trusting God through fear and change. And I would add, trusting God in those unfamiliar places of barrier-breaking ministry. And I would add, it's not just going to be okay. It's that God's going to use you and do some great things. The work of the Lord happens when we trust him in those spots. When we're still there pointing people to Jesus. Think of all the great excuses these believers had. First of all, they were fleeing Jerusalem. The threat of persecution was on them. They didn't know the folks that were these culturally Greek people who were Greek. They only knew the cultural Greek from the Hebrew side, and now they were sharing with them. So God used them, and God can use us, even in those moments of suffering, those challenges that we face. And central to the being used is declaring the message. Peter stated this earlier in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. We can too. Our part in the church, our part as we represent Jesus where he places us, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So we invite people to him and trust in him. And then let's see the encouragement. Let's consider that as well. The key person here is Barnabas. And the key word is seen. Think about this. Think about this. When things are new, when the work is not well developed, when things are not super solid, there's a lot that isn't right. There's all kinds of things that you could probably find in the youth group kids that isn't right. Right? There's a lot of things you can find with those young adult believers that isn't right, with those new Christians that isn't right. Right? But Barnabas didn't focus on what wasn't right. Barnabas focuses on what was right, what was the work of God, and he saw it. He saw it. He saw the work of God. And I think if we're not in the right kind of place, we cannot see the work of God. We miss it. Like, no, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And this is really got so much stuff that needs to get done, I don't even notice what God has done. But we start with seeing what God is doing. And fan that flame, celebrate it, trust God, encourage it. Barnabas wasn't being undiscerning here. He's grounded in the truth of the biblical discernment. He's saying, hey, and now that you've come to know, now fully continue in trusting Jesus wholeheartedly. Let's look at this. This report of what's happening there in Antioch, this was brand new. Man, what's going on there? Came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. The leaders there are pictured as being having ears because, man, this was some big news. And they needed to check it out, so they sent Barnabas as an official representative to investigate and to validate, is this legit? And Barnabas went. And when Barnabas went, what does he note and what does he do? Verse 23, this is big. When he came, that is to Antioch, to investigate on behalf of the leaders there in Jerusalem, and saw the grace of God. He saw it. He literally saw it. You say, well, how can you see it? Well, I've been thinking about this week, and I've seen the grace of God too. Hearing about somebody say, hey, in this situation, stuck, now free. How did it happen? The grace of God. You see, like a small group forming at Trinity this fall, that we've never, ever had any group anything like this. How did it happen? Was it some planning session we had 6 months ago? No. It was, boom, the grace of God. God just said, hey, I'm going to do this. And there it is, right? Think of a situation after situation. And the answer when we see the true work of God is, it is the grace of God. But Barnabas saw it, and he was glad. We'll talk a little more about how we can see it. What's the key to seeing it? But I want to see what he did as well. Once he saw it, he was glad, he rejoiced, he celebrated the grace of God, the working of God, the gospel work that was happening there. And then he exhorted or encouraged them, many times that word is translated encouraged, them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, wholeheartedly in continuing to follow Jesus. And we can too. When we see that new work, when we see the work of God at work in somebody's life, encourage the work. And then let's consider also extended. No, before we get to that, I'm sorry. I promise you I'd tell you how Barney saw. I almost missed that. How did he see, and how can we see? Verse 24 is so key. He was a good man. I think that flowed from that he was a man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So he saw because he was filled with the Spirit, surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And we will too. He was an encourager because he was a man filled with faith. Not just the faith of believing. That's not what's talking about here. It's the faith of trusting God and continuing to trust in God. So when we're surrendering to the Spirit, trusting God and continuing to trust in God, we're going to see things that God is doing, and we're going to encourage those things God is doing. And if we're in a place of not surrendering, not filled with faith, we probably won't see it. Or if we see it, we might even squelch it. We might even try to stop it. So let's be like Barnabas, seeing and celebrating, encouraging and exhorting people to continue faithful to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and a great many of people were added to the Lord. What a wonderful summary statement there of what God was doing as people trusted him beyond the barriers. And then let's talk about extended discipleship to sustain it. Remember what I said? We don't want to just see a flash in the pan. Oh, that was a good time. Yeah, there was a revival back then. Well, did it last? Did it result in the multiplication of churches, disciples? Or was it just like, no, it was this kind of big emotion thing? Well, that, you know what happened? There wasn't discipleship. We need extended discipleship to sustain a barrier-breaking gospel ministry. And of course, the church in Antioch became a hub because of this extended discipleship that was happening right here. The key persons is the whole church, and the key word is sought. And let's look at the need for the church to be solidified by long-term ministry and for long-term ministry for a whole year. Barnabas and Saul, we'll hear more about how Saul ended up there in a second, met with the church, that's the key word, and taught a great many people. And here the term church is not just used for the church in Jerusalem or the church scattered from Jerusalem. Now, for the first time, the church term church is used for a church that is primarily Gentiles. And this becomes a new hub of Christ followers in this particular city. I want us to look at chapter 11, verse 25. Because when we hear about all these people coming to the Lord in chapter 11, verse 24, then it says as we transition 11, verse 25, so. And the word so indicates that Barnabas knew the task was so great that it was beyond him and beyond the current capacities of the leaders in that community. He didn't want to do this alone and fly solo. Oftentimes, people are tempted to fly solo. I'm going to do this. This is my ministry. It's like, no, you need partners. You need to learn from partners and develop new partners. I mean, think about being mentored and being mentoring. Barnabas was of that mentality. So he knew he needed help, and he knew Saul, Paul, was the man who could help. And he actively hunted for him. He left Antioch for a season, invested that time. And so for the short-term loss of Barnabas doing the discipling work, he got the long-term gain of Paul helping him in the discipling work. He went to look for him, and he found him, so convinced the partnership was needed. And when he found him, verse 26, he brought him to Antioch. And now this dynamic duo of ministry partners in truth-telling and truth-training discipleship were there at Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And this extended discipleship is there establishing the church, establishing the believers in solid teaching, and it's what's needed for us too. Discipleship is needed for every believer. And every believer is a part of the charge and task of fostering discipleship. So this is what we embrace as a church. That yes, we have things like Antioch Cohorts, get the name, for training leaders. We have things like Entrusted for training young leaders. We have things like a process of discipleship in four steps: worship, connecting to small groups, serving in ministry, and investing in relational evangelism. You can see it in the center lobby. Our vision is that we would all be a part of sharing the gospel with people in our region here, and we want to help foster that. But one of the biggest ways that we seek to foster discipleship for every adult at Trinity is through small groups. So I want to encourage you to see yourself as a part of one, to get into one. And as that list is there now and the sign-ups open this week and next Sunday, we're going to push it really hard. My prayer is that every single one of us would be a part of a small group this fall for our own discipleship and for the discipleship of others, and connecting in these subgroups, small groups and training cohorts, et cetera, are something that just becomes a natural part of, like, hey, that's what it means to be part of Trinity. Trinity is not a place you sit. Trinity is a community you enter into in discipleship as you grow, and we're all released on gospel mission, breaking barriers as God works through us. You know, this really happened. And it can really happen here. At Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. And I think Luke's throwing that in there as a marker, not just like something dramatic happened and this became a new hub, but like this is a whole new terminology. These Christ followers. And they weren't just saying they're Christian. We know a lot of that, right? They lived up to the name. How do I know that? If you look down the following verses, they immediately responded with great generosity when the church in Jerusalem had trouble. Each one according to their ability. That's a fruit of their discipleship, of definitely being genuine, on mission, Jesus followers. And I pray that's where we are too. How do we respond to God's word today? What's your part in breaking barriers for the gospel? Well, first, you got to turn to the Lord. If you haven't yet turned to the Lord, believe in Jesus if you haven't personally received him. And if you have, I know many of you have, then trust him. Trust in the Lord in those places he has you, in that barrier-breaking ministry he may call you to. Even if it's a small barrier of like a conversation with someone that you haven't yet spoken to, I pray you'll be trusting God there and knowing that God will use you there. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, just reminds us of the fact that it is only in Jesus that one is saved. This is the call for those who need to trust him. And this is where we trust and what we proclaim, those of us who do. There is no other name under heaven given among men by we must be saved. Because he died in our place. Those who turn to him are delivered from God's wrath and have life forever. So whether you're an introvert, extrovert, or somewhere in between, this is the message we proclaim. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this message. These individuals that reach beyond their comfort zones, this church that was used mightily, Lord, may we be that type of individual trusting you in those places. May we be, Lord, that type of church. Use each of us and use this season And even TCC Day, Lord, as such a day, this fall is a time for discipleship and growth. And all these things, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, so that more people may hear of him and receive him. Amen.